Lord, what a privilege, what a blessing, what an unspeakable joy, Lord, that we can be here to bless your name, Lord, to have fellowship one with another, and to do the will of God, to study his word. We praise you, Lord, for the precious blood of the cross, what it means to us, Lord, for your wonderful healing virtue. Lord, that by your stripes we were healed. We praise you, Lord, for dying for sinners, for your mighty resurrection. Lord, that you are in control. Bless the families represented here, Lord. Remember Brother and Sister Seroy tonight, Lord, asking for prayer because of their influenza, their sore throats. Lord, Coles, we pray you'll bless them. We're thankful for those that came tonight, Lord, that were sick this morning. Blessed be your name, Lord. You're a prayer-answering God, and we give you praise. We give you praise. Forgive us, Lord, our many sins and transgressions, Lord, as we freely forgive those who transgress against us. And grant, Lord, that we'll be deeply free within, Lord, from all that is not of your Spirit. Every bondage will be broken tonight, Lord. All will be loosed within us, Lord, that we may be free to grow. Hallelujah. Free to grow, Lord, and to please God. Grant, Lord, that no one will get off, Lord, but will stay, Lord, right on target, Lord, growing and praising God like oaks of Bashan. Blessed be your name. Now, Lord, we praise you for what's gone before tonight. We pray that you'll continue, Lord, right through the communion service. Bless the Royal Rangers and Missionettes. We lift up the wonderful name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. All right, let's turn to Revelation chapter 12 then. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. Revelation 12, chapters 1 through 5. All right. Here we go. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Our burden for the last week and a half or so has been on the body of Christ. We spoke this morning that... where's Hank? Hank?
Yes.
That tape isn't on tonight, is it? You'd have put the tape on. All right, okay. Okay. Not someone nice that you can yell. The manners of it all. All right. And the idea is that it's the body of Messiah, Christ and Messiah synonyms, and that to Paul was given this revelation. And here we have this picture of what's going on today. This 12th chapter may be the fulcrum of Revelations, as weird as it seems. It's extremely important. Notice that it's a great wonder in heaven. What God is doing today is not going to be done by the efforts of men. It's going to be done by the Lord. It's good if people want to try stuff and everything, but the thing that's going to be done, that is going to last, that is going to shake the world and change history, is a great wonder in heaven. It's not a great wonder of what people are doing. And first, there's two wonders in heaven. First wonder is the woman. Now, I give you my understanding of this, of course. It's, if you have a different one, Lord bless you. As I understand it, the woman is Israel. Not to Israel, to me, is the people of God from the time of Abraham. There's never been any other Israel that God has recognized other than the seed of Abraham. And as Paul brought out, it's not the seed after the flesh, but it's the seed after the Spirit. And that's spelled out very clearly in the third chapter of Galatians. The gospel is preached to Abraham by faith. And if you're going to be a member of the seed of Abraham, you must be, whether it's Old Testament or New, it's only by faith. Praise the Lord. And that's the true Israel, whether it was Israel under the Old or Israel under the New. And that's the true Israel of what Paul uses is the Israel of God. And so this is what I would call a church, which as I conceive it, began with Abraham, was the father of all who believed. That's a great wonder in heaven. A woman, this church, clothed with the sun. And to me, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Malachi, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. It's Jesus. Our glory is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moon under her feet. And the moon is that which has no light of its own. It has only reflected glory from the sun. To me, the moon stands for the material creation. And God has put under the feet of the church the material creation. You remember, he says, you shall bind and loose. Whatever you ask, I will do, and so on. The creation in the Spirit of God is subject to the church. Man has been given to rule over the works of God's hands. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. 12 speaking of the family of God. And the stars on the church are the saints. We point out before that it's stars. When God created stars, therefore, signs and seasons. You go back to Genesis. He created them for intelligence. The stars direct you, and the stars directed people to Jesus. You follow the star. You don't follow the sun. You don't follow the moon. You follow the star. And throughout history, it has not been the church that has led us. It has been the stars of the church. And when we teach people about the things of God, we always go back to individuals like Daniel and Noah and Job and Abraham. It's always the stars. The church kind of rises and falls, but in the church there are stars. And even in this generation, in this century, Christian era, 2,000 years, when we talk about the Lord, we talk about Wesley and Luther and Watchman Nee, we talk about God's stars. We don't say the church did this or that. And God always has his stars. And they're the ones that lead us, whether they be Billy Graham or Dwight L. Moody. It's the stars that God raises up in his glory. And they're a crown to the church. It says, she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now, that is where it is at. Praise the Lord. What is going on in the church today, and has been, is a travail. Now, we can do a lot of things, and I think a lot of them are good, and some of them may be a waste of time. I guess we learn from all of them. Whatever we go out and do in our enthusiasm, we learn. We learn from it. But the main thing that goes on in the church is this travail. It's a travail. That's what I said. When we get pressured, we want to move geographically, or maybe we go out and buy a new couch, or maybe we fast and pray. We've got all different ways of responding to the burden of the Lord. I don't even know what I'm talking about when I say the burden of the Lord. Do you ever just feel rotten and you can't lay your finger on it? Do you ever have that happen? Spiritual people know what I'm talking about. The more mature you get in Christ, when you're young, you don't recognize it, and you figure it's your husband's fault, or your wife's fault or the church's fault, or you're coming down with something, or people are not treating you right. But the older you get in the Lord, the more you can tell when it's none of these things, but actually is a burden. And you just feel lousy. I mean, you're just pressed all the time. You know what I mean? You stagger around. What in the world is wrong with me? Well, after a while, we become seasoned enough that we can spot it, and we just, instead of blaming people, we just go around and groan. Because that's about all you can do with a burden, is kind of groan it through. And sometimes if it gets bad enough, you know, which reminded me, by the way, speaking of a burden, Fran Heights has a tape here, and it's here. She's going to have some duplicated tonight for those who want it. I don't know, I guess the charge would be what we always charge for the tapes, $1, $1.50, $2, whatever they're charging there now, inflation and all. But you want to hear this. This is worth hearing. It's a prophecy a man interviewed on 8/25/81 in Dallas, Texas. A man, a businessman, that had given a vision. The Lord told him about the end time. Made me think of when I said burden. He had such a burden when the Lord was dealing with him that he didn't want to eat. He didn't want to do anything but just groan and just pray before the Lord. Get alone. And you don't, when you get these kinds of things, you don't want to pray. You don't want to do, I mean, you don't want to eat. You don't want to talk to people. You just fuss budget. If people talk to you, you're crabby. And all you want to do is just pray. What a wonderful thing that is, to have a burden and to be able to get alone and just pray that thing through till the bells start ringing. It's a wonderful thing. And so whenever you have that, maybe you recognize it now a little bit sooner, that what you have is a burden and there's nothing you can do. You can't go out on the town or anything and get rid of it. You've got to just get alone by yourself and pray that thing through till it's prayed through. Sometimes it doesn't take too long, sometimes it takes several days. And it's just appetite leaves you, and you're so miserable, all you want to do is just groan and pray and seek God to get some relief for your soul. Now, that's, you remember in Isaiah, when Zion travails, she brings forth her children. And nothing is done, really, in the church of God, except as people travail. Now, you can't put it on. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to have a travail and go in and start groaning any more than a woman can give birth to a child. You cannot do that. It has to come from the Lord. But I think as we present ourselves before the Lord and are willing to pray, that the Lord can give more and more burdens. And I can remember in earlier Pentecost when people had a ministry of intercession, and I tell you, it was a fright. It would scare you to death because maybe Manny remembers and Mary, I don't know. But those that have been in the church for a while, in the Pentecostal doings, it was usually women, and I tell you, they would scream and carry on till it was, you know, it's really something. And then after they get through, there was such a peace would come down upon the church. Have you ever been through that? You don't see that much anymore. But that is... very often when there's a true travail of the Lord. All right, now, she pains to be delivered. So, as we, today, this is going on. Let's go on a little bit, we'll clarify it. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Now, there is not only one wonder in heaven, there are two wonders in heaven. There is a great red dragon. I think he's red because of the blood of the saints. He has seven heads, meaning that he has perfect wisdom. He has 10 horns, meaning that he has power in the world. 10 stands for the world, and horns in the Bible represent power. God has given him power, and he has access to the heavens. He's not on the earth, but he is in heaven. And we are dealing with spiritual forces in the heavenly, saints. Come on, we don't realize that. We don't realize that. But we envision that we're going to be all right. We can fool around in these days and not really get with it. But boy, when the Lord comes, then we're going to pray. Let me tell you something. Difficult times are coming. And when they are here, you will find that you're not only being hit in the physical realm, but you are being hit in the spiritual realm in a way you did not anticipate. Now, I don't know if I can really put it into words, but the devil will have power to actually interfere with our ability to pray, our ability to think, our ability to have faith. And that's what Jesus meant when he said the night is coming when no man can work. See, as long as you have, like tonight, if you want to pray, you can pray. If you want to exercise faith, you can. You can reach up and touch God. But the day is coming when you won't be able to do that. And some people that have been in India and other places where there's greater oppression will tell you about the difference in trying to pray in India and trying to pray here. And that's just a small example of what's coming. The pressures are going to be so great, Ron, that only the hardiest will be able to pray and seek the Lord. Now, the Bible says that neither height nor depth nor angels or principalities, anything can separate us from the love of God in Christ. And that is true. But what happens is, when this pressure gets bad enough, we depart. Because we can't feel the Lord, and we can't pray, and the oppression moves in on us, till we can't think, and we think we're going to go out of our mind, then comes your economic pressures, and other kind of pressures of the end time, and the mass of people are going to go under. It says in Matthew 24, the love of the majority, the Greek says majority, shall wax cold. And the reason is because there'll be only one way for you to move, and everything in nature and in the spiritual realm will be coercing you in that direction. And in order to move against that, against the spiritual power and against the physical power, you're going to have to get that strength now. And I believe, and this vision this man had in Dallas supports it, that we are in a time now, like in Joseph, of the seven good ears, as the kids say, the seven fat cows. Huh? But the skinny cows are coming. The skinny cows are coming. And this man in his prophecy, you can hear, he says, the Lord is going to give a tremendous revival for 7 years, and then there's coming 6 years of persecution. And that fits with kind of what I feel in my spirit. And what that tells us is one simple thing. Make hay while the sun shines. Make hay while the sun shines. Don't say I'm going to do it next year. Don't say I'm going to do it next week. There's no next week. You have got to pull your act together and get prayed through. I don't care whether you're 4 years old or 40 or 82. Age doesn't matter when you get in the spiritual realm. You've got to pull your program together now. This is the time when we're here at where we can sit and it's comfortable and we're well fed and have a reasonable chance of paying the rent and the spiritual atmosphere is good. This is the time to say, oh God, by your grace, I am going to come out from this culture which is sucking the spiritual life out of people and I am going to get myself ready. And if you'll do that, you'll make it. But it won't be easy. And that's why it says the righteous scarcely are saved. The righteous are saved with difficulty. The righteous. Praise the Lord. I hope you believe me. I hope you do, because it's for your welfare that I rage and snort around here. I don't want you to ever take any service in this church as business as usual. I don't. I don't. To me, this is all that there is and the only night that there is and the one last chance to cry in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And I take nothing for granted. And if the country was laid flat tomorrow, it would alarm me, but it wouldn't surprise me. So, saints, there's no business as usual, and tomorrow may never come, and the interest in the IRA and the inflation and the problems here and there do not mean much. Now, what means something is your relationship with God. Are you hot for God, or are you living a careless life? The devil is a wonder in heaven, and there are two forces facing each other in heaven in the spiritual realm. And the church is one of them. And he is before the church because the church is going to bring forth something. The church is in travail today to bring forth something. Praise the Lord. Now, there are two things going on, and it's important to understand this, I believe. One thing is salvation. And if you keep them separate in your mind, even though they're related, it really is a hell. And the other thing is the body of Christ. These are two separate things. And some say, oh, all I want to hear about the body of Christ. I don't care whether anybody gets saved or not. That's an extreme. And others are saying, oh, the only message there is the message of the gospel of salvation and all this deeper life stuff. I heard a fellow get up and mock in a church one time, those deeper life people, oh, singing in the spirit, and all going on. Well, not him. He was a real old time preaching salvation. Well, that's understandable, but it's folly and madness. Because, these two things are going on full force, and they are both important, and God doesn't favor one over the other. Now, one is the message to the world that if you will put your faith in Jesus, that he will move. Now, I'll tell you what salvation is. Salvation is to be pulled out of the hand of the devil and put in the hands of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of believers in the Lord that are still bound by the devil. In other words, they haven't been saved. You can say yes or no or amen or maybe or how do you do, but it's the fact. I'll tell you how you tell a Christian by the way he acts. By their fruits you shall know them. If a man acts like the devil, he's of the devil. That's what Jesus kept saying. When you fish or cut bait. That's what the Lord preached, really. When you fish or cut bait. You can't bring forth bitter water and sweet water out of the same fountain. And you can holler, Lord, Lord, till the cows come home. But if you're lying and you're abusive and proud and high-minded and haughty and covetous and tricky to deal with and everything, and you go around saying a Christian, you're not a Christian. You're a child of the devil. Say, well, I believe. Well, so do the devils. By their fruits you shall know them. If you're a Christian, it'll show. Praise the Lord. If Christ is in you, it will show. If the devil's in you, it will show. And what salvation is the rescuing of us from the clutches of the devil and bringing us into the clutches of God through Jesus Christ so that when God pours out his wrath, we will not be destroyed. Now, when you go out, let's say you have a great evangelistic burden, and you go out and you preach the gospel, what you are doing is providing men and women with an opportunity to be saved, meaning to be free from hell. Do you see that? When you go out and preach the name of Jesus, what you are doing is to bringing to men and women who have never heard the opportunity to be rescued from the forces of hell and to be brought under the forces of heaven. Is that right? I'm emphasizing that because we make evangelistic campaigns and say, if you just raise your hand, you're saved. No, if you raise, what you're doing when you're raising your hand is you're saying, of my own free will, I choose to believe that this is true. But that belief then entails repentance, water baptism, quitting the gross things that are characteristic of the world, drinking, smoking, and swearing, and so on as the Lord leads you. It entails more. You can't slip your hand up, go home, and say, I'm saved, and go about your business. What you did when you put your hand up is say, I want God to save me. I want God to save me. That's what you're saying. And God looks at your hand. He says, oh, all right. Well, this is what you do. And this is what I do. Then you've got to go through the process. If you go through the process, he'll pull you out of the clutches of hell and bring you into the clutches of Jesus. But a doctrine or a theological assent will not save you. It will not save you. And so if you are saved, everybody knows it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that's a message, and if people have never heard it, how can they be saved? Because the only way you can be saved is through the name of Jesus. Okay, that's one message.
that's going on today. That's the message of salvation, of redemption, of reclamation, of reconstitution through Jesus Christ. All right, now the second thing that is happening today is of equal value, and the Bible has a great deal to say about it, and it is the creation of this being who will, or this entity which is for the world to come, which is for the kingdom. And this is called in the scripture the body of Christ, or the body of Messiah. It's not a case of your being reclaimed from the devil. It's the case of God fashioning something through which he is going to do certain things. And today the body of Christ is dry bones for the most part, and for many good reasons. But the church is in travail today to bring forth the body of Christ. Now, if you look at Galatians 4:19, it gives you that idea. It's not enough today just to be saved. Maybe in the millennium it will be, I don't know. But once you get saved today, God wants you to get good and saved, and then he wants you to start being fashioned into a member of the body of Messiah, which is another ball game. It's another ball game. See, people get saved and say, I'm saved. Good. Well, what are you going to do now? Well, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, what about the meantime? I don't know. I'm going to try to stay saved. No, God has more going than that. All right, in Galatians 4:19. Now, remember, this is addressed to the churches of Galatia, or to the woman. Now, listen, 4:19. My little children, these are saints now, of whom I travail in birth again until what? Until you try to be more like Jesus. Is that what it says? What does it say? Christ. Not Christ's likeness. If God meant Christ's likeness, God would have said Christ's likeness. What God meant was Christ. And that's what he said. Now he said, how can Christ be formed in me? Christ is formed in you when you keep yourself in the spiritual realm where you are feeding upon his body and blood. We are being built on his body and blood. And as his body and blood enter into us in the spiritual realm, it is divine. That's why it says we are partakers of the divine nature. It is not an imitation. It is not a New Year's resolution. It is the substance of Christ, Messiah, coming into us and growing into us. It is reality. Organic reality. Praise the Lord. And why does he use the term again? He uses the term again, of whom I travail in birth again, because the Galatians had been saved, and Christ had been brought forth in them and born in them and was growing in them, and then the Judaizers had come and told them they had to be circumcised. Well, the instant you get people over into religious works of any kind, whether it's circumcision, regardless of what it is, they miss the point. They miss the point. They get all occupied with whatever your thing is in your church, whether it's not eating meat or going on a diet or wearing special clothes, whatever the thing. And we human beings love religion. We just love it because it's visible. It's something that we can do, whether it's to keep the Sabbath day or whatever thing that we do, eat herbs and so on. All that is something that you can get your hands on. Sell some special kind of vitamins or something. Christians get tricked into all these kinds of things because coping with the invisible and coping with God requires patience. It requires a willingness to just groan and deal with a living God. And it's much easier to get some program going that you can explain to your neighbor and get out and do something about it. Whether it's to sell vitamins or whatever, it's a lot easier than having Christ before in you. And so Paul says to these Galatians, and by this time they're all taken up with circumcision and what the Judaizers, he said, I've got to go through it again. Because that's not where the action is. It doesn't matter. You know, he says, whether you're circumcised, it doesn't mean anything. Or uncircumcised, nothing but a new creation. Peace be on those. And the Israel of God, that's in this book, because it's the conclusion. It's the end of chapter 6. Peace be on those who observe the idea of the new creation. Because the only thing that matters is that Christ is in us. That's why he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, Christ dwells in me. Now, in Ephesians, this is a great topic of Paul's, and no other writer deals with it, because God gave the revelation to him. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, and has put all things under his feet, that's Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1, 22, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. See, the church is the body of Messiah. When Messiah came 2,000 years ago, just the head came. Just the head came. What God is doing now, he has taken of the great head, Jesus Christ, has broken him upon the cross, and is putting him into the body so that Christ in us is being enlarged. Christ was not in his fullness in the first century. Note the 23rd verse, which is his body, the fullness of him. What is the fullness of Jesus Christ? Huh? Well, not here. What does it say in verse 23 is the fullness? His body. His body. Is it, now, he fills all in all. Christ, Jesus Christ fills all in all. But we are... What? You don't believe it, do you? Come here, Leslie. I can't off his nose. Take my hand. All right, the other hand. All right. He's right hand. All right. Now touch the pew right there. I say, I can't touch the pew, can I? I can't touch the pew because I'm not over there. I can't reach it. You see what I'm saying? I cannot touch the pew. But if Leslie is part of me, if he were part of me and he touches the pew, I'm touching the pew. You see that? Now, he's not me, but if he is part of me, as we are part of Christ, and he touches that pew, then I am touching the pew. You see how that is? And so we are one. Thanks. So when we, that's very simple, but you ponder on that. Because we're all the time trying to do things separate from the Lord. See, we're trying to work for the Lord. And what the Lord wants is people who will become his fullness. See, when he came the first time, he was isolated. His apostles were not part of him. They were not part of him because he had not died. Because there was no way for him to be in them. He was a discrete individual, an entity, the Word made flesh. So, that's why he kept saying, it's good for you that I go, it's good for you that I go. Because in the Father's house are many mansions. That is, he now is being expanded. He's not only with Peter, but in Peter. See? Do you see the difference? He's not only with Paul, as he was with Bartholomew and those others, but he is in Paul. And that's the mystery of the gospel, is Messiah in you. In you. But it isn't that we, flesh and blood, become the extension of Jesus. Because as scripture says, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom. That isn't what happens. What happens is that Christ is born in us and grows in us, and it is the new creation which is the fullness of Jesus. Now that's an important distinction. That is the new creation in which Jesus inhabits. See, Christ is formed in us, and then he comes and dwells in that which is formed in us. There's a double action that takes place there. The substance of Christ is formed in us. And then Jesus Christ himself, through the Spirit, comes and dwells in the transformed inner man, which has been made from his own substance. So the whole thing is Christ. It is not us. We are a host, a vehicle, something. What it, the truth of the matter is, we, the church, are in travail. That's the best way you could put it, to bring forth something that is coming out from us. And that is the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Not a gimmick. Not a church trying to be like Jesus, but his body. He is being formed. Christ is being formed, is being enlarged. And that's why the scripture says that when he shall appear in glory, we shall appear in glory, is because we are his fullness. Now I want to repeat what I said this morning, because it is possible to get off on this doctrine. I'm going to show you how. And it has happened. That's why I'm calling attention to it. It has happened. It's not academic. It really happened. People get the idea. They say, oh, well, if that's the case, the Christ of God is a conglomerate. It's a conglomerate of which Jesus is a member. And that error has happened. You can see the logic of it. But a lot of things in the scripture are logical, but not true. Did you know that? A lot of things in the scripture are logical, and that's how error starts. It's because people take something and they deduce. They don't take God's therefores. Therefore, Jesus does not become one of us. Jesus is unique. He is the Lord, the Lamb. We are the bride. And he is the bridegroom, and that will not change. No, that will not change for eternity. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. We are begotten from Christ. He is begotten from the Father. See, we are born again of Jesus, of the living Word. But Christ came from eternity in the Father. He's unique. And so, the fact that Christ is made up of many members does not mean that Jesus has become one member in a conglomerate. Christ remains as Lord. Praise the Lord. And when he comes, he, Jesus, is coming not only in us, but with us. Praise the Lord. He remains external to our being. You've got to watch that. I've heard people, and some of you may have heard this doctrine. This has been extant over the last 30 years. We have Christ in us now, so we don't need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever hear that preached? We have Christ in us. So he's the fullness. See, that's an error. That's an error. If God meant that, he'd have said it. It's logical, isn't it? But it's not correct. We have not seen the gifts of the Holy Spirit in this decade that we're going to see them. I verily believe God is going to restore the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You see, you can become so occupied with the internal working that you lose sight of Christ at the right hand of God. Do you see what I mean? You never pray to Christ who's in you. Never look down and say, Jesus is in me. Jesus? But people do these things because it's logical. They say, oh, 1 plus 2, 1 makes 2. Well, in the spiritual realm, sometimes 1 plus 1 makes 0. Huh? That's right. You get all kinds of combinations. You have to let God say what 1 plus 1 equals in the spiritual realm. No, you don't pray to Jesus in you. You lift up your eyes. Did God dwell in Jesus in his fullness? Are you sure? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Did Jesus pray to the Father in here? No, he lifted up his eyes. And yet in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Well, how can he be in the fullness and still go up to him in heaven? Because in the spiritual realm, that's right, in the spiritual realm, it doesn't function like the natural realm. Time, space, and other things are not like they are here. They're different. And so in Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yet when he prayed, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. And so we must never make the mistake. Here's another thing that's done. Look, we've got 50 believers here, and every one of them have Christ in them. That means that we've got 50 times one, we've got 50 times what it would be if one person was here. You can't gang up on God like that. It doesn't work that way. You could have 10 billion people. They wouldn't have any more power than one person. No. You don't accumulate a power like that. God is pleased when two or three are in agreement, not because they're ganging up on God, but because of the love. Because God is a God of love, and because He respects the love. That's why God will bless when you've got two or three, because there's love there. It isn't because you've got an accumulation of Christ. See? Because when you pray, one Christian, if he gets down and prays hard enough, God will hear him just like just 50 people. That's right. It doesn't work that way. Praise the Lord. So there, we're talking tonight about the birth, the creation of the internal Christ. But we never lose sight of the Lord of glory, all right? Now, you find in Colossians 1:27 that Paul said, and for a Jew, this is really incredible. He says in verse 27 of Colossians 1, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles of the nations, Colossians 1:27, which is Christ. Now put it in Paul's terms, Messiah. He's thinking Messiah. He's thinking Messiah. Which is Messiah in you. Praise the Lord. The hope of glory. What glory? When will the glory be revealed? At the manifestation of the sons of God. See, that's what everything is shaping up to. All right, now back to Revelation 12. All right, now here's another thing. Boy, I'm getting to be a regular preacher against error. Isn't that wonderful? Here's another thing that goes wrong. If I can remember what it was. My funny's up here. It'll come back to me. That's what I get for fooling around. All right, now. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now, you find this also in the 8th chapter of Daniel, speaking of Antichrist. It says he even reaches up to tear down the host. Now, we are coming into spiritual times. Lord, what was that? It's nagging in the back of my mind. There's something else we go wrong on in this doctrine. What is it? Might help somebody. Praise the Lord. Told you about the external Christ. There's another thing that gets shifted off to the side. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. All right. Now, this is important. This does not mean that the church and the body of Christ are two different groups. That's another therefore. Here you've got your church. Here you've got your man's child, a male son being born. Therefore, there's two groups coming forth. See how these logical things? Man, you'd be surprised if people believe that. No. Don't you see how simple it is? In one role, we are the mother. See that? In another role, we are the son. Do you see how Paul said, my little children of whom I travail in birth? What role was he playing there? See, he was playing the mother there. See? But then when he says in Galatians 2:20, see, I'm not living anymore, but it's Christ is living in me. What role is he playing there? The son. See, so it isn't a case that you've got two different groups. People, you know, they even get into things like this. There's male churches and female churches. But one thing I even notice about these people that preach that is the church they're in is always the male church. Oh, boy. I never heard anybody preach that doctrine that it didn't always end up somehow as an overcomer. It was the other guys that were the weak Christians. You ever notice that? No, it isn't. That isn't true. In the role that we have a ministry, we are the mother. See, like I'm travailing tonight in my ministry, and within you. See, it isn't two different groups, it's two different relationships. And the two witnesses is another relationship of the same group of people. See, it isn't all different groups of people. Praise the Lord.
All right, now, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. This is a very powerful rebellion. The reason why we don't get scareder, how's that for grammar? The reason we do not become scareder, that's better. Scareder is because we cannot see in the spiritual realm. And I'm telling you what Satan's business is in this country. I'll tell you how he works here. Everything is fine. And you're going to have cheaper gas and plenty of food. And now we're coming, it's going to be warm and nice. And people will come to Southern California. And if you work real hard, you might be able to buy a new Lincoln. And now let's see, what should we really worry about is whether the baseball players are going to strike. That's America. And that's his game. Is there a devil? Well, you know, maybe on Halloween, but, you know, we're not worried because we can look out. I mean, after all, we're intelligent people. We can look out and the stars are still out and it doesn't feel any different. But that is a device of hell. You see, Satan knows that if the American people had any understanding of what's taking place here, this war in the heavens, that churches would be bulging. They really would be bulging. So it is, the idea is business as usual, you have enough food and enough money and everything, just keep it quiet. But let me tell you something. It's not that way all over the world, you know. In America. I'm talking about what his tactic in America is, cool it. Business as usual. Don't get excited. Let's make our little bit of money here and pay off our bills and maybe get a little extra. See, don't sweat it because I don't see any cloud on the horizon. But when Satan, when that device is no longer efficacious, it's no longer what he wants, I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to turn. And when he turns, he's going to turn so hard and with so much savagery that the American Christians, unless they prepare today, are going to be knocked flat. Because they're not prepared to be put to death. And they're not prepared to have their children put to death. He'll just make it softer and softer and softer, and then he'll turn and say, now! One word out of you and your children go. And we're so tender, a bunch of marshmallows. We say, what was that? What was the faith message, the prosperity message? I believe, I believe, I believe. When you're staring into the jaws of hell, you can say that till the cows come home and nothing will happen. You'll be so panicked, you won't be able to squeak, let alone believe. You wait and see. Don't learn that the hard way. He is going to turn on America. When you hear this prophecy that Fran had, it corresponds almost exactly. The only place the brother and I differ is on the resurrection. I went to the Lord about it, and I think I understand what the Lord was saying in that to him. But I think God is going to make some wonderful provisions for his people. Maybe even take some people without them dying of a sickness, but just have them die, I guess, like Aaron and Moses did, if it's advantageous at that time. To me, that's not 1 Thessalonians 4, but I could see the Lord doing that. I could see the Lord coming and saying, I see what's coming, this family, there's no use for them to face it. And they don't die a natural death. The Lord just takes them. And he, like he did to Aaron. Aaron wasn't sick, man. He's feeling well. How are you feeling? I'm feeling great. You got a cold? No cold. You got a temperature? No temperature. How you doing, man? I feel the best I felt in my life. Go up and die. The man wasn't sick. He didn't go snorting and wheezing with emphysema up the side of the mountain. How you feeling, Moses? Great. Never felt better. How's your eyes? Great. How's your strength? One. Marvelous. Die, Moses. Go up in the mountain there. You've been around long enough. See, I can't. That's what appears in this prophecy. And I think, but the man was already preset for the rapture. I think he put the two together. Anyway, I went to the Lord about it. Now, the Lord didn't tell me that, but it made sense to me. I began to think about Aaron. I thought, yeah, the Lord took Aaron. The Lord took Moses. The Lord took Smith Wigglesworth. And if he saw you in a place, he said, I don't need this man down here anymore. There's no use waiting for him to die of old age. And I don't have to strike him with cancer or anything. He's too good a man. Just take him. Why not? He's done it before. Praise the Lord. It's I. Might as well enjoy yourself. Praise the Lord. But the point of the things that are coming, and according to this man, before 1984, are really something. They're really something. But I like what the Lord told him, that at the same time, this is what, and people here have been here in Fremont, have heard me been teaching since I was in Fremont, and I have said the same thing consistently for the last 7 or 8 years. We are going to have two things running concurrently in this nation. And one is revival, and one is persecution. I've been preaching that since I was in Fremont. And that's exactly what the Lord told this man by a vision. Exactly. You're going to have tremendous earthquakes and everything. One big earthquake a day. It says on a daily basis. And that eventually we're going to be attacked, which I believe that. I haven't mentioned about that much in this church. But it fits George Washington's vision, and others had the same vision. And the Lord hasn't given me a vision, but I have a deep feeling. Yeah, before we're through with this thing, we are going to be attacked. And according to this man's vision, that the American people will give up because it comes so hard and so surprising. And at that moment, the Lord will deliver them for His own glory. And that's exactly what the Lord showed me. I've told Paul and a couple others. I don't like to talk about this thing because it scares the people to death. But we're facing some interesting things. But the point is that God, the 91st Psalm isn't going to change. The 37th Psalm isn't going to change. The 34th Psalm isn't going to change. The Bible isn't going to change. Praise the Lord. But the point, what the Lord is telling us is, I have some serious business here. I want this body of Christ. And I have called you to be in it. And I don't want fun and games. And the thing that's taken us out of the body of Christ is Satan's present tactic, which is prosperity and ease. But in the not too distant future, his tactic will change. And it's going to be as David Wilkerson said, and I believe it, and it's what the Lord told this guy, and it seems everybody in town. We are facing tremendous persecution. Well, let me tell you something. Then that'll be another reason for not building the body of Christ. See, Satan doesn't, if he can stop the body of Christ, by persecution, he'll do it. If he can stop it by just putting you at ease, he'll do it. All these tactics will come and go, but you will be as hard-pressed now because of the ease of the thing as you will be then, scared half to death. So if you can't do it now, you won't be able to do it then. But if you can serve God now, you'll be able to serve God then. You see? Because the persecution through for 2,000 years, persecution has come and gone, ebbed and flowed. People have been slaughtered. People have been blessed. I'm talking about Christian people. This has been the pattern. But there's one thing that does not change, and that's the travail of the woman. See? And it's coming up to a climax in the day in which we live. And the dragon stood before the woman, and the instant you become serious with God and say, Lord, I'm going to quit doing my own thing. I'm going to allow you to bring forth this Christ within me in any way you want. I'm not saying stop your ministry or anything. I'm just saying it's an attitude between you and God. You have to give your life to the bringing forth of Christ. And the moment you do that, the dragon will stand in front of you. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the dragon is not afraid of the church. And he's not afraid of preachers. And he's not afraid of committees. He's not afraid of denominations. He's not afraid of money. It would be amusing to him if everybody in the United States called himself a Christian and organized himself into a committee of the whole to raise money for South America. He's not afraid of that. He's not afraid of that at all. He can divert that to his own gain so fast you wouldn't even know anything happened. He's afraid of one thing. Christ. Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit. And Satan knows that when the church brings forth Christ, he is finished. Praise the Lord. You have growing within you. See, this is the seed of the woman that was prophesied in Genesis. The seed of the woman that shall crush the serpent's head. You have growing within you the power of God. Right? And you're And my efforts to do what we will are great, and God blesses and anoints. But that isn't what's going to do it. What is going to turn the tide is when Christ comes forth, and he is going to come forth suddenly. And that's what it means in Isaiah 66, where it says, a nation shall be born in the day. See, Zion travails. And you, if you read it carefully, you'll see two travails there. See, before she travailed, she brought forth. That was Jesus. See? Maybe we better read that. Hold this place here. We're about through, so relax. You can go home and watch Walt Disney. I shouldn't even say that in joking, man. You know, I really shouldn't say that, even in joking, because we are up against serious business here. You come against the ancient dragon, boy, you better have Christ in you. You'll find yourself running in circles. All right, Isaiah 66. You notice, all right, verse 6 of Isaiah 66. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple. And we spoke about that prior to this tonight. We spoke about Joel 3:16, the Lord shall roar out of Zion. Isaiah chapter 42, the Lord shall roar as a mighty man. Here you have the same thing again, Isaiah 66, verse 6. A voice of noise from the city. Now that's talking about the time when the body of Christ has been built, God enters into it, and through the body of Christ overcomes Antichrist and the devil just before the Lord appears. That's a voice from the temple. A voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. You can read that in Joel chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now before she travailed, she brought forth. That is, Jesus Christ was not brought forth by a travail of the church. See, before she travailed, she brought forth. Christ just came, issued forth by a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. You see what I mean? Before there was a travail of the church. Then it says, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Now, who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? Now, this is talking about the body of Christ. It's not talking about natural Israel. Natural Israel. People say this is natural Israel. Natural Israel was not born through a travail. It was Jews who went back to Jerusalem under the Balfour Declaration or whatever. There was no travail of Zion when Israel became a nation. That isn't what this is talking about. This is talking about the woman of Revelation 12. In other words, the church is coming up to the time now where it is going to bring forth a nation. The generation of the body of Christ shall be brought forth. Notice what it says now. As soon as she travailed. See, before it says, before she travailed. Now it says, as soon as she travailed. This is where the body of Christ comes forth. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. See? She brought forth her children. Now, notice and take heart in this. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to come forth? You say, God has dealt with me till I'm sick of being dealt with. Did you ever feel like that? Man, if he does one more thing to me, I'm going to quit. Hey, Pat says she felt like that more than once. How many times, Pat? Huh? One more thing! Lord, I said too much. Listen, God finishes what he begins. Say, don't worry about it. He didn't start something in your life, and then nothing's going to come of it. God will bring it forth. Take heart. Back to Revelation 12. And she brought forth, and the Greek here is a male son. It's a peculiar expression, because all you need is male and all you need is son, but to get the point. And the translators waltz all around this and put a son, a male child and all. That is not what the Greek says. The Greek says a male son. And the reason I believe why God would give us an expression which essentially is redundant, you do not need male if you have son, you do not need son. There is a Greek word for child. This is not the word child. It is the word we are son. This is a male son. And I believe it is emphasized because what the church is bringing forth is not female in any sense. It is not female in any sense. And you notice, as Satan is working, do you see what he's pushing? Huh? You'll hear in this revelation, God spoke to this man about this sexist Bible, and he said, this is an abomination to me.
This is an abomination to me. And someone had me a clipping in the paper today. Some lady that's involved in the equal rights is praying to God, her mother. Instead of our Father in heaven, it's our mother who is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Now, that sounds ridiculous, but these people are not ridiculous. They're not fooling. They mean business. They mean business. And how a thing like this could catch on, it could catch on tremendously. And God knows that for the end time. This is Satan. See, he knows that there's something. See, male and female are not limited to flesh. They're not limited to biology. In the spiritual sense, there's male and female. And we see this where we see the woman, where Christ is the great male and the woman is female. The gender is transcends flesh. It transcends flesh. And so what God is saying is, I am going to create from the church not something which is compliant and something which finds its meaning in something else or must be led or anything. I am going to create within the church the ruling male. See? The ruling male. We can't get far today. You know, if your house, and I just digress this for a second, we're through here, but it is important, people, that the man be the priest of the house. God will not recognize it. God has put, you say, oh, you're just a man. That's the reason you say that. You hate women also. It's not the reason. It's not where I'm coming from. It's not, I recognize the value of the woman. I recognize that the man is not without the woman, the woman's not without the man. The Bible makes this very plain. I'm not saying the man is stronger, in many cases weaker. I'm not saying the man is more intelligent, in many cases not as intelligent. Or more talented, many cases not as gifted or anything else. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about one thing. Rulership. And in your home, you cannot have two bosses. On a ship, you cannot have two captains. You have to have organization in a kingdom. You must have a determination as to who is in charge. And so you see, the great thing today in marriage is equality. And that's why it falls apart. You can say yes, no, or how do you do? But you cannot have that kind of thing because decisions must be made. And so in everything you can have equality, the man and the woman, one helps the other, they're a blessing to the other, they strengthen the other. Listen, how well I know, because my wife has been such a source of, tremendous source of strength to me over these last 32 years. So tremendous. I don't know how I would have made it without her. Take a bow. Praise the Lord. I mean that from the depths of my heart. I don't know. I'm sure I would not have. I'm sure I would not have. I'm certain of that. He that obtains a wife obtains a good thing from the Lord. That's what the Bible says. But when it comes to rulership, God is the ruler. He is the law. It's not up to me to say I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think that's so hot because many women are more equipped to rule or anything. That's not mine to say, is it? God has said this is the way it is. And saints, if we want to have our house in order, and I know it's a temptation because many times women are more spiritual than the man wants to drag around, drink his beer, and do whatever he wants to, and the woman wants to go to church. It's a real temptation, I'm sure. Not being a lady, I cannot appreciate how great a temptation this really is. When your husband is not up to speed, I cannot appreciate that. I have not experienced it. Nonetheless, the Word of God cannot be changed. When it comes to rulership and decision making, that is the man's responsibility. And the devil is at this thing tooth and nail to destroy our society by creating in the mind of the woman the idea this is a wrong thing and the woman has every right to make decisions the same as a man. That's the devil's work, and it's extremely effective in a marriage. Praise the Lord. And if you stop to think about it, that's the reason many of them break up, is because the pride enters in, and the woman says, brother, you're not telling me nothing because I'm just as smart as you are. And she is. She is. Maybe smarter. Probably smarter. But that isn't what God said. That isn't what God said. So the woman, she must bring herself under God. And the man, and listen, many of us are big cop-outs. How many know that? How many men in the room know that? We're just big cop-outs. If the woman fusses, let her have her way. See?
We're lovers of peace, brother. We love peace. And if she hollers enough, let her go. You know? If she wants to have her way, then we're just as much to fault as the woman is. Because we have not done what God said. We have copped on to peace. We have just let the poor soul work herself into a corner. And God will not bless her, and he will not bless the man. You cannot go against God's word and be blessed. And when God comes down and sees the home, he does not expect to talk to the woman about it. Huh? He does not expect to come down and have the woman ventriloquizing for her husband. He does not expect that. He expects the man, and the man may have fear and misgiving, may not see himself as a great ruler of the household. He has no choice. He has got to do that. Praise the Lord. He has got to gird up the loins of his mind and say, I'm not much, but I'm all the family has. And God has made me priest in my house. And if the woman is going to have a happy marriage, she'd be better not to get married than to go into that marriage with the idea, I'm just as good as he is, and I can do just as much, and boy, it's going to be even Stephen, and I'm going to see to it. Because you're done before you start. That's not what marriage is. How many know the Bible says the man was not created for the woman? The woman was created for the man. Boy, if you want to swallow a great big fat pill, that's it. Like Manny said one time, says, I try to take these big horse pills, and eventually my body rejects them. You remember that, Manny? I never forgot that. Every time I take my vitamin pill, a great big old pill, I hear Manny saying, my body rejects them. And I had to throw those things down. I don't know why they couldn't have made two pills. They have a pill that big, and it's orange, and it hurts every time I swallow it. Crazy thing. Boy, they don't do me any good. I'm suffering for nothing. Listen, that's a big pill, that the man was not created for the woman, but the woman for the man. But I am convinced, until we become convinced that God knows what he's doing and accept that, we're going to have fuss without end in our marriages. Praise the Lord. I didn't mean to get on that. Honestly, as I stand here, I'm innocent, folks. I'm not on that. I'm on the body of Christ. Praise the Lord! He is creating within the church not some weak thing that doesn't know whether it's doing. He is creating a male son who shall rule all nations with a rod of iron. And brother, sister, whether you're male or female, that's for you. Because in Christ there's neither male nor female. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord, we are thrilled, Lord, and rejoice at the thought of the mighty male son being formed within us. Hallelujah. The ruler of the nations. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we're not afraid of Antichrist or the devil or anything else. Lord, we fear God alone. Create within us, Lord, your mighty male son. Hallelujah. And place in his hand the rod of iron of the Holy Ghost. Lord, the world is rocking and reeling tonight, Lord, in sin and despair, because there's no rulership from God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus! Jesus! Oh, God, how we need rulership. How we need a righteous government. We need righteousness, Lord, that comes from the hand of God. Oh, Lord, help us to appreciate the debt we owe the world, that we may hold steady in these last days as the last pains draw closer and closer together. Hallelujah. Until we know it's time for God to bring forth the man child. Hallelujah. The male son, the ruler of the world to come. Oh, barakahandalalabaha siliyarabahandalalabaha shiliyarabaha. Hiliyarabahandalalabaha siliyarabahandalalabaha siliyarabaha. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, God, help us to be persuaded, Lord, that what you've begun in us, you will finish. Hallelujah. We don't see all the details, Lord, but we have faith, Lord, that you know what you're doing. And Lord, we pray if there be anyone tonight, Lord, that's discouraged or bowed down, Lord, we pray that you will feed into their spirit tonight the strength of the rod of iron, the strength of the male son, the strength of the Christ of God, the unconquerable Christ, and lead us in his procession of victory, hallelujah, from grace to grace and from glory to glory, till heaven and earth can behold an army, a mighty army in which Christ is dwelling. Praise your name. Oh, Lord, you're greater than the devil. We give you glory. Hallelujah. We see the nations crumbling before our very eyes. Lord, we see them throwing down their spears, throwing down their weapons, and running in disarray as the mighty Christ of God descends from heaven to establish his throne. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Kiss the Son, ye judges of the earth. Hallelujah. For he cometh to reign over the earth. Praise the Lord and his saints with him. Oh, blessed be thy name. We see the victory, Lord, and the lightning shining from east to west, from horizon to horizon, as you appear with the sons of God in glory. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for the travail. We thank you, Lord, for the travail throughout the church tonight, Lord. Cause it to bring forth the Christ of God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Oh, thou art God. Hallelujah. Thou art God. There's no one beside you. There's no one beside you. Praise you. Yes. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I think the Spirit is speaking, and anyone should have a burden of the Lord to speak it out. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hear now, saith the Lord thy God, that I am in the midst of thee this night, that I have spoken my servant.
Yes.
All my children have ears to hear the words that I have spoken unto you.
Yes.
Allow my words to deal in your heart, and allow my words to dwell in your heart, and allow me to dwell in you. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen. We receive it, Lord. We thank you. Grant it, Lord. Be formed in us, Lord. Grow in us, Jesus. Be a part of us, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's remain in an attitude of prayer now. The Lord is very precious. We ask the elders to bring in the children. We're taking into ourselves the body and blood of Jesus. This is how Christ is formed in us. representative of the way Christ visits us in the Spirit and feeds us with His body and blood? Is there anything in your heart tonight that's not right? Promise the Lord that you have done with what's wrong. You need to reconsecrate yourself. Promise the Lord. Make a covenant of blood with Him. You will do what He says. Hallelujah. Be sure you forgive everybody, Lord. Lift from us if we have aught against the soul, Lord. Lift it from us. Lord, we pray, don't let these things accumulate in our spirit. Just draw the poison out of us, Lord. All of it, Lord. All of it. Draw all the poison out of our spirits, Lord. That we may be free tonight to worship You, Lord. Have love in our hearts toward all people, everywhere, Lord, saint and sinner alike. Yes, Lord. To grow in love, the love of God. Praise Your name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We worship You. We worship You. We worship You. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Shall we hold the bread before the Lord? And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus, we've preached tonight, Lord, that we are living by your body and blood. Hallelujah. And we receive it tonight, Lord, as your eternal life. Praise your wonderful name. Lord, that speaks of a wonderful hope of glory to come, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Shall we partake together? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. After the same manner also he took the cup. Shall we hold the cup before the Lord? When he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Lord, we realize, Lord, that we're dealing with your body. Lord, not only the body of Christ, but your body that was broken upon the cross. And we do not take these lightly, Lord, but we recognize that this is God's answer to the needs of the world. And so, Lord, we remember the crucifixion, and we look forward to the day when we drink it new with you in your kingdom. Shall we partake together? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand and just bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Avarakahanda Valavakahasili Aravahayara Vakahasi. Eki Sili Aravahayara Vakahandara Vakahasili Aravahai. Eki Sili Aravahandara Vakahasili Aravahai. Oh, thou art the Christ. Oh, you are the mighty Christ. Hallelujah. The Son of God. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Oh, we give glory unto your holy name. Oh, we give glory unto your holy name. Oh, we give glory.
glory unto your holy name. Ile arabaha arabaka handala arabaka hasile arabaha. Ile arabaha arabaka handala arabaha hasile. We bless the name of the Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise your name. We'll ask our brother Aaron, if he will, to come and stand in the aisle. This will be Aaron's last Sunday night with us. And we want to pray over him. Aaron, will you go down more toward the center of the church there, get amongst the people, if you will. Praise the Lord. Those that want to gather around, lay hands on Aaron, we'll pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Aaron. Yes. Lord. Lord, we thank you for the call. Praise. Praise. Oh, praise. Thank you. I believe you're walking with him and in him. Pray. Pray.